University of Colorado.
Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air, the University of Colorado's official podcast. At CU on the Air, we talk to our outstanding faculty about their life-changing research and how it benefits our state, nation, and world. I'm your host, Ken McConnellog. We're pleased to be able to bring you the best of all four CU campuses on CU on the Air. Today we're talking about the August 21st total solar eclipse with Doug Duncan, a CU Boulder astronomer and director of the Fisk Planetarium on campus. A lifelong stargazer, Duncan was part of the project that first found sunspot cycles on stars other than the Sun. Subsequently, he joined the staff of the Hubble Space Telescope, and he now serves on a NASA advisory committee. So tell us about your day on August 21st.
Well, my August 21st has been in rehearsal for about 4 years. As a professional astronomer and as a person who does commentary on public radio and loves to present cool science to people, I took the maps and I said, where do we want to be in 2017 on August 21st? And it's the first time in almost 40 years there's a total eclipse on the continental U.S. And this one was going all the way from Oregon to South Carolina. And I realized, oh, wow, it's going through Grand Teton. It's brushing Yellowstone, two of the most beautiful places in America. So I drove all around to find where I wanted to be on August 21st, 2017. And I found a beautiful lodge in Jackson, Wyoming. And I walked in and I said, I'd like rooms for 300 people. And they said, when? And I said, 2017, the week of August 20th. They were a little surprised, but they let me put a down payment on 300 rooms. And so I'll be there leading 300 people on the golf course in Jackson, Wyoming, which is dead center for the eclipse, totally flat, unobstructed view of the mountains and the sky. It's just going to be glorious.
So who are your 300 friends who are going to be with you?
So it's just whoever wants to. I don't even have to advertise very, very hard. I specialize in eclipses and northern lights trips. So all I do is, you know, on Doug Duncan Astronomer, University of Colorado page, I put a little link to whatever trip is coming up. And the next thing I know, the 300 people filled this trip a year in advance. So it's been sold out for a year. So chasing eclipses is really amazing. It's fun and people like to do it.
Not everyone will be so fortunate to join you up in Wyoming. What can people in Colorado expect to see?
So in Colorado, we'll see more than 90% of the sun covered. And that means that at the maximum of the eclipse, which will be just about 11:35 roughly in Colorado, a few minutes more or less, depending on how far east or west you are. And the partial eclipse starts over an hour before that. Okay, so all of the local news, the Denver paper and Nine News and so on, and NPR, Colorado Matters, where I do commentary, will give you the exact times. But anyway, the moon will slowly, slowly cover the sun. But the sun is so powerful that to see that, you're either going to have to protect your eyes with a special dark filter. Now, those are pretty readily available because I'm an eclipse evangelist. So I've got one hardware store in Boulder, Colorado, called McGuckin, that everyone in this vicinity knows McGuckin has everything. Well, McGuckin has eclipse glasses. I convinced them in 2012 when there was a three-quarters eclipse, and that was the year that we got the CU athletic department to let us use the football stadium, and we put 10,000 people in the football stadium, and a lot of them got their glasses at McGuckin. So you can come up to Boulder to the Fisk Planetarium that I direct or to the hardware store, and you can get your glasses. If you are on the ball, And you plan at least a week ahead, the big factory that makes safe eclipse watching glasses has made a website called eclipsediscount.com. And anybody connected with education, and since you're listening to me from the University of Colorado, that deputizes you, can go to that website and order a pack of maybe 50 of them for all your friends, and they will completely love it. So I've got one other piece of advice. An eclipse is a great time to have an eclipse party for all your friends, or maybe for students in a school near you. Okay? So, and it's very easy because everyone gets excited just before the eclipse, but not so many people plan. So plan an event. Okay, the hard part is getting a place that has, you know, bathrooms and parking. But if it's at a school or a park, you can usually arrange for that. And then you go to that website, eclipsediscount.com, and you order a bunch of the glasses. And people love you for it. As a matter of fact, this hardware store that I mentioned before, they ordered 10,000 Eclipse glasses, and they sold them all for $2 each. But the secret is they only cost 40 cents each if you order them in advance. So the hardware store made $10,000 in that day, or $15,000, something like that. But people love to have a chance to see the eclipse. They love to experience it with other people. It's kind of fun to do it as a party. So I encourage listeners, make your own eclipse party, because everybody wants to see the eclipse, and so everybody needs a place to do it.
Tell us about the path of the eclipse. We hope that people listening will be listening from all around the country. So can you talk to us about the path of the eclipse across the United States?
Well, the moon's shadow for this eclipse is roughly 60 or 70 miles in diameter. The moon's orbit around the Earth is not a perfect circle. It's a little bit elliptical, and that means sometimes it's further away and sometimes it's closer. And surprise, surprise, when it's closer, it looks a little bigger and it casts a bigger shadow. But for this eclipse, it's a, let's say, a 60-mile wide circle. But the Earth is turning and the moon is moving, and so that shadow sweeps across America like a paintbrush. It starts in Oregon, and it ends in South Carolina, and it passes through roughly 10 states. The closest to where I'm sitting now in Colorado is Wyoming. So imagine going Oregon, Wyoming, on to South Carolina. If you go on the web, or if you go to the University of Colorado Eclipse website, either way, you can easily find maps, pretty detailed maps. There's even a road atlas for the 2017 eclipse, which is an old-fashioned road atlas with a couple of pages for each state. And superimposed on that is the shadow. So you know just where to go.
Tell us about your students and what they can learn from this experience.
Well, I have always loved teaching science, especially to people who think they're not scientific. And so there is this mythology, because it really is a myth, that somehow science has to be hard to understand. But in fact, science explains in a very interesting way, if it's done right, all kinds of things around us. How does that work? How does gravity work? How does light work? How does lightning work? How do the orbits of the sun and the moon and planets work? And so learning stuff like that is actually very, can be exciting. It's very satisfying. I've had, I hate to say it, but several generations of students now email me and say, wow, I explained that to my parents and they thought it was so cool. That's why at the University of Colorado, I love to teach the big non-majors astronomy classes. We have one of the largest and leading astronomy departments in the country, and a lot of the astronomers really enjoy teaching the intro classes. So we have 3,000 college students take astronomy every single year because it's so awesome.
Can you tell us about some of the feedback you've gotten from these excursions?
A lot of people have told me that they've never felt so connected to the cosmos as when an eclipse happens and they feel the power of the sun. They feel the power of the sun taken away. And most people like that feeling. A few people get really scared by that feeling. And I think that's why, if we have a chance to play back an audio recording taken during totality, it's pretty phenomenal how people react.
And I saw the eclipse you witnessed in the Galapagos. You had some turtles come up and join you?
Close. Whales and dolphins. It turns out that not just humans, but animals respond too. It's been known for a long time that cows, during the few minutes of darkness, they head for the barn, if they're used to the barn at night. And so they march to the barn for 3 minutes, stop, look puzzled, turn around, and go back to the fields. In Bolivia, We're all looking at the total eclipse. That was about 4 minutes, I think. It was a good eclipse. And someone shouts, look down, look down. We did, and we're surrounded by llamas. I don't know where they came from. When the eclipse was over, they kind of got in a line and they marched off into the Andes. But the most amazing one was, like you say, the Galapagos, because 5 minutes before totality, when it's just starting to get dark and strange, every whale and dolphin surfaced. There were dozens of whales and dolphins, and they cruised back and forth. They watched the total eclipse, and then they swam away. And we didn't see them any of the other 10 days. Now, I think I might understand down in the equator, you know, there's not very much in the way of seasons. So all through the year, days are about 12 hours. So all the life of a whale or a dolphin, sunrise, wait 12 hours, sunset, except this one day, after only 5 hours, the sun went away. What's going on? But since I don't speak whale or dolphin, I'm just conjecturing.
Safe to say that eclipses capture the imagination, perhaps, of animals, just like they do of humans.
They do. And the reason is kind of interesting physiologically. Our eyes have evolved to span an enormous range of brightness. So if I asked someone to guess, you know, how much brighter is it in the daytime than nighttime when you see the stars? I bet people might say, oh, 100 times brighter, 1,000 times brighter. It's actually a billion times brighter. So what that means is that if even a few percent of the sun is still visible, it's so powerful that it doesn't get dark. So one of the big misconceptions about eclipses is, oh, I saw a 90% eclipse. I saw 90% of the show. Wrong. Okay, you didn't see the show. You don't see the intense part of the show that looks like the end of the world unless the eclipse is total. And that's why I strongly encourage anybody within maybe a day's drive of where the eclipse is total, you know, go online and you can just Google 2017 eclipse, or you can go to the University of Colorado website, www.colorado.edu/eclipse. And we've got videos and coaching, everything you need. And so I encourage people, go to where it's total, because even a few percent of the sun, it isn't going to get dark. Now, if you can't go to where the eclipse is total, it's still really, really interesting. But as I have said, the sun is so powerful that if even a few percent of it shows, you got to protect your eyes. So you should go someplace where you can get these special dark eclipse glasses. They're 10,000 times darker than sunglasses. Sunglasses will not do the trick. You cannot stare at the sun with ordinary sunglasses unless you want to really harm your eyes. But if you can get this special protection, which is not expensive, then you can watch the partial eclipse. If you can't, you can just take two pieces of paper and hold them 2 or 3 feet apart and poke a little hole in one of them with a pencil. And that makes what's called a pinhole camera. And you let the light go through the teeny hole and fall onto the piece of paper. And you'll see the little crescent and you can follow the eclipse. If you're underneath trees, the light filtering through the leaves will make hundreds and hundreds of little pinhole images. And you'll see lots of little crescent suns on the ground underneath the trees. That's a cool way to watch a partial eclipse.
These are unique events around the world. But why do you think eclipses capture people's imagination so much more so, it seems, than a lot of different space phenomena?
Well, it might be a little hard for us to appreciate nowadays because we have things like electric lights and heating and a lot of control over our environment. For most of human history, that wasn't true. And even today, you have a very strong, whether it's conscious or subconscious, realization that the sun is the source of all of our power, the energy that grows our food. We are absolutely dependent on the sun. You take that away, we die. And you don't normally think of that. But when you're standing out, especially with a clear sky, and instead of the sun, there is a black hole in the sky and it gets cold, I personally think that your subconscious kicks in and it reminds you, whoa, you know what they said? That's really true. If there was no sun, we'd all die. Okay, it's coming back in 3 minutes, 2 minutes. The astronomers told us. But I think your subconscious goes, what if they're wrong? You know, so you very visually and emotionally realize the power of the sun. That's what I think makes the experience of a total eclipse so profound.
And when will the next total eclipse be?
Well, the next total eclipse that I've investigated is in the summer of 2019. And that one goes across the South Pacific and then hits South America. So the longest eclipse is kind of near Tahiti, out in the vicinity of Tahiti and Easter Island. So if I can get my hands on a ship, I would love to be there. If I can't, then I think I would probably go to South America near Santiago in Chile. That happens to be where a lot of the world's best telescopes are. And I often, as an astronomer, have gone down to Chile to observe. So I think it would be kind of fun to put together a trip where you'd see the greatest telescopes in the world. Maybe if I can find a ship, go out into the ocean, we'll see what develops.
You saw your first solar eclipse in 1970 in Mexico. Tell us about that experience.
March 7, 1970. I knew I was a new astronomy major at Caltech, the Big Bang School, and I knew this eclipse was happening, so I petitioned the dean to take 2 weeks off, finals week and the week before, to photograph an eclipse. That sounded a little better than to go and gawk at an eclipse. And the dean, bless his heart, gave me permission, and so two friends and I got in a VW Bug. And we had food and water, we had a telescope, we had cameras, and we drove for 5 days to get to a little village outside of Oaxaca, Mexico. And then the eclipse happened, and the partial eclipse, as you know, is very, very slow. The moon starts to cover the sun, moves more and more and more, takes over an hour, and then finally, bam, total eclipse, 3 minutes and 20 seconds of the most unbelievable sights I've ever seen. And it's fresh in my mind to this day.
Sounds very 70s-ish, jumping in the VW van or VW
Well, this
bug.
Was a bug. You know, I'd be 2 inches taller still if it didn't spend 10 days in a VW.
And so how many eclipses have you seen since that first one?
Roughly 10, all over the world. I realize that this is such a phenomenal thing that people would actually pay me to take them to different places on the earth. And so, you know, I've taken people to China, to Bolivia, to the Galapagos, all over the place, because there actually is a total eclipse every 2 or 3 years someplace on the earth. But we're just extremely fortunate that for the first time in almost 40 years, this eclipse is in the U.S., the continental U.S.
So you've been watching eclipses now for nearly a half a century, and you talked about the first one and the upcoming one. What are some of the other memories that stick out in your mind from that span of time?
Well, it's very easy for me to tell people about the saddest eclipse, okay? And that's because, right around 2000, I realized that this shadow of the moon traveling across the Earth a mile in about 2 seconds— that jogged something in my mind. And I said, something else moves that fast. Wait a minute, the supersonic Concorde plane. And so I researched it and I found out, sure enough, the Concorde flies at a speed that could keep up with the moon's shadow. And so instead of having a 2 minute eclipse or 3 minutes or 4 minutes, the entire flight, you could have an hour and a half totality. So I did a little research and I found a man who had chartered the Concorde, and I contacted him and said, would you want to charter the Concorde again? Here's why. And he thought it was a great idea. So we approached Air France, as it was, and they loved the idea too. So they flew us both to Charles de Gaulle Airport. Turns out that the chief pilot of the Concorde supersonic plane was an amateur astronomer. He assigned himself to the flight. They went off to draw up a contract so that we could charter the Concorde for like 5 or 6 days. And 1 week after I returned to the U.S., somebody knocked on my office door and said, aren't you the one who loves the Concorde? Did you hear it just crashed? And the poor plane that crashed, because it ran over a piece of metal that had fallen off a Continental jet from the U.S., that was their charter plane. So we never got to rendezvous with the total eclipse. We never got to see a lifetime's eclipses out the window of the supersonic Concorde. So I'll just have to see a lifetime's worth of eclipses chasing them my whole lifetime.
You've created a massive open online course about the eclipse. Can you tell people what they could learn from that?
I'm very excited to have done my first online course. There is a website called Coursera.org, C-O-U-R-S-E-R-A. And you have excellent free college courses on Coursera. So I've recorded a 5-meeting college course about the sun and what astronomers know about the sun, how we learn about the sun, and about the eclipse. So it's really quite fascinating. My own research is on stars like the sun. And early in my career, I was part of the team that first found sunspot cycles on other stars. Our sun has a cycle of 11 years. And every 11 years, it gets a lot of spots and eruptions, prominences, solar flares that shoot particles through space and hit the Earth, affect satellites, cause the northern lights. Light is all around us, but very few people have had the opportunity to see how light works. And I can assure listeners that if you learn about the world of atoms and light and quantum mechanics, light is like nothing you've ever seen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Duncan, for being with us today and talking about this certainly fascinating and obviously timely topic.
Well, it's a great pleasure. I'll see you in darkness on August 21st.
Thank you for joining us for CU on the Air. The University of Colorado comprises four campuses, Boulder, Colorado Springs, Denver, and the CU Anschutz Medical Campus in Aurora. To learn more about CU, go to www.cu.edu. Thanks to our producer, Kathy Buten, and audio engineer, John Arnold. I'm Ken McConnellog, and we'll see you on the air next month.
University of Colorado.